Hello and welcome. I'm Luke Burridge and this is the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. It's the show where I review every science fiction book that I read as I read them. There's no normal schedule for this. It's just when I finish a book, I review it and put up the podcast of that review. So if you want to know more about the show or more about me or more about any kind of things that I get up to on the show, just check out the very first episode of this podcast series. Just that's the SFBRP number one, or go to sfbrp.com for all the information. So straight on with today's review. Last time I did a review, I said that this would be a novel by Alistair Reynolds called Diamond Dogs, Turquoise Days. And it is, except it's not a novel. It's actually a collection of two previously published short stories, one of them called Diamond Dogs, one of them called Turquoise Days. It was first published in 2003. So, let's get into these stories. Both of them are set in the Revelation Space Universe, and the Revelation Space Universe is quite interesting. It's set maybe about 500 to 1,000 years in the future, I'm not entirely sure, and there's all humans are spread out across parts of the galaxy, but they're very isolated from each other. There's planets and the solar systems very isolated. The ships that move between them are called light huggers, but they don't go faster than light, so it takes many years to connect any two planets together in any way. Also, the humans modify themselves quite a lot, genetically in one way. Another way is they attach sort of like cybernetical constructions to themselves and replace parts of them with robotic equipment and things like that. So sometimes the humans don't even seem human anymore. They're quite alien, and it's quite interesting to see, you know, that direction that Alistair Reynolds takes things in, sort of like what is the future of humanity, not just of humans, but of humanity itself. One line that sums it up well is in the first few pages of the book. One character says to the other, it says, "Didn't you have horns last time I saw you?" So there's lots of things like that in both books, in a way. There are aliens, or alien life does exist, but none of it is intelligent in any way that humans can understand. Maybe it's too advanced, maybe it's not advanced enough, or maybe it was all in the past. A lot of the books do revolve around someone finding an alien artifact, or a mysterious artifact or building or structure on a planet, and many of Alistair Reynolds' sort of books then explain, or his stories explain, how that came to be there. Or how the humans find it or understand it in a way. And so there's, like I say, lots of alien artifacts, but nothing that anyone can really understand. I'll get onto some more of them later on. So I've read some of Alistair Reynolds' novels before. Not in order, though. I don't even think I read Revelation Space, the very first book in the series. Maybe I'll need to check that one out in the next few months or so, and I'll review some more of these. But I'm saying that because I got into these books, or into this book, quite easily, because I already knew the universe. I wouldn't recommend reading this book first. I'd try for one of the full novels set in the same universe first to get into the style of the book. So, Diamond Dogs is the first book, or the first novella in the book, sorry, and this book revolves around one of these found alien artifacts called the Blood Spire. And the Blood Spire is this 250-meter tall sort of skyscraper kind of thing, with lots of rooms inside that spiral up to the very top of the structure. And each room contains a mathematical puzzle by the door, or a logical puzzle by the door, and to get into the next room, you have to solve that puzzle, press the right button, the door opens, you can go through. And, yeah, that's if you get it right. If you don't get it right, or if you don't get it in the right amount of time, if you take too long about it, you have to pay a forfeit. And a forfeit normally involves, it seems in this book, some blades or something flicking out from the walls into the room and chopping a bit of your body off. And, of course, the forfeit gets like harder and harder and more vicious as you go up the spire, and also the puzzles get harder and harder as you go up the spire, and the time that you get to solve the puzzles decreases as well. Nobody knows what's at the top of the spire, but lots of people have obviously tried to get to the top of the spire in the past, because all the way around the outside of the spire are lots of body parts and bits of legs and arms and stuff like that that are laying around of people who didn't quite make it to the top. But it is on a deserted planet. Not many people know it's there. So a team is put together, This is where the story starts, really, of the team being put together to get to the top of this spire. And Richard Swift is our protagonist. That's a guy you get to know quite well because he tells the story through his eyes, sort of first-person narrative. And the team also consists of his friend, who's the team leader, and a weapons and espionage specialist, a maths wizard, which is going to come in very handy because all the mathematical problems to get to the top. There's a body modification expert, this doctor who reattaches missing limbs. That's his job. And also there's a captain of a light hugger ship that get them to the planet. So I don't really want to give much of the plot of the book away because it's such a small or short story. But the style of it is something I'd love to talk about. It's very gothic, quite disturbing, quite a lot of horror, quite sensational in a way. Just think The Cube. If you've seen the film The Cube, it's very much like that, with a bit of Event Horizon thrown in there and some Indiana Jones as well. So it's quite interesting, but it's nothing I've not seen before. The ideas behind the book is nothing new there at all. Just the way that it's all put together by Alistair Reynolds is quite interesting. Just to get the alienness of everything and the strangeness of the characters and the conversations, that's all the best part of it, really. But the idea behind it, some kind of vicious labyrinth with puzzles, not that original at all. So yeah, I did like the book quite a bit. I liked the story. I liked some of the twists. It was quite interesting. But I didn't like a few things about it. One was I kept thinking about, why do they have this big team? Why did they put such a big team together? And why are the people there? Of course, for the story, for the plot itself, they all have a purpose. But their initial motivations to go into such a dangerous situation with such like high risk, I never really understood it. Of course, Richard Swift, the protagonist, he doesn't seem to have a function on the team, except he's friends with the team leader. And the team leader doesn't, at the beginning, seem to have much of a motivation, except that he likes a good challenge. And the other ones are there for the money. But, you know, when people's limbs are being chopped off, do you really want to stick with it? They just seem to be a bit too much cannon fodder, in a way. So that was a strange thing. Of course, the plot really does go into it, and they all have a function in the plot, but they seem to be written in there just to further the plot, and I didn't get to know them, or I didn't really believe the characters themselves. Also, one thing I didn't like is the mathematical puzzles. They started off really difficult, and they were meant to get more and more and more and more difficult, but you never really understood the difficulty because they start off way, way in advance of anything that I could probably do myself in my head. And you never see the puzzles. They're all set with notches on doors and you've got to press one button to complete a sequence. But there's no diagrams in the book. It's all just described. So you can't really get into the puzzles. You can't really feel what they're going through, except that they tell you what they're going through because there's so long passages of them talking about these puzzles. And the puzzles, while they could be good, like I say, I just couldn't really identify them in a way. I would have liked it if it wasn't just all mathematical problems, and then they could have had some more variety in the characters, and different characters could have worked out how to do it instead of just the maths expert time and time again. So yeah, I never really had an opinion on the maths problems, and I was as ignorant as maybe the protagonist, as Richard Swift himself. So, good short story. Limited appeal, I think, if you haven't read other Revelation Space books. But, you know, you could enjoy it, I guess. I enjoyed it, but I think, like I say, the enjoyment comes from knowing the universe. The second story, Turquoise Days, this story follows a young researcher called Naki. And she lives in an ocean world, and it's filled with an alien life form called the Pattern Jugglers. And they're this mysterious, like, amorphous kind of alien life form. Humans can't really communicate them with any way except being assimilated into it, which is a bit unfortunate. And they can't really, understand the Pattern Jugglers, except that they store information. And other life and other aliens have come onto this planet as well, or onto these Pattern Juggler planets, and gotten absorbed into them as well. They could be sort of like lots of history in there, but we never really understand. And because they live in the ocean, they're like a cross between coral and seaweed and krill and fish and birds and everything else. Like, this whole alien ecosystem is mixed up just in this one alien life form. It's very interesting. I really enjoy reading about it. Again, I don't want to give away too much of the plot because it's such a short story, but it involves a light hugger ship again turning up and bringing visitors to this isolated world that aren't exactly honest about their intentions. Of course they're not, because that's where the drama comes in, of course, trying to find out who these people are who are turning up. And there's some really good twists in here. It's not just a straight story, which I really like. There's lots of politics, some bureaucracy and religion, and there's some good action sequences as well near the end. And the characters in this book are actually a lot more believable and likable. The main character I could sort of really identify with, and I was always on her side, unlike the first book where he was very, very passive. There's no passive characters in this book at all, in this second story at all. And even the passion jugglers seem to have a good character by the end of the book. If you don't know the universe, you might not have been able to get into the first story in this collection of novellas, but this second one is almost like an instruction book. It's a handbook into the Revelation Space universe, especially the pattern jugglers. But it is set after the first book. There is one line which shows that it's set many years afterwards. I'm not going to give it away, but the second story does reference the first. Also, it's very different from the first book in style. That was sort of very gothic and dark and claustrophobic, and you had a feeling everything was happening at night. But the second novella is set in the ocean, in the sun, and it's all like in the tropics, and it's all warm and things like that. It just feels so much like more uplifting, even though the theme and the conclusions to the stories, both of the stories, is quite ambiguous. You're not really sure what's going to happen, or you do know what's going to happen, or you've got an idea of what's happening, but you don't sort of see where this is going to lead in human history. And I really like this ambiguity, because the themes of both of them is like, what is it to be human? In the first one, it's what is it to be human physically compared to the alien? And in the second one, it's a lot about the minds of people and the motivations of people. And you think, are the aliens the evil ones or are the humans the evil ones? But it's all a bit strange in that way, that you never really find out. And that's good, because that's what life is pretty much like. I'd say the second story is better than the first in many ways. I just think it's better, like the construction of the story is better, and you sort of get taken along a bit more, and there's no sort of nagging details which make me think, hey, but why is this happening? But the sensationalism of the first story, the sort of darkness of it, I actually think makes it more interesting in other ways, no matter how sort of derivative some of the elements in the first story seem. Overall, I'll give this book 3.5 stars out of 5. Meaning that you should check it out if you can. I'd say check out other of Alistair Reynolds' novels first to get more of a style of his writing, because I do think his novels are a lot better than these short stories. Some of his novels I'd be giving 4.5 or 5 stars out of 5, whereas this one just doesn't really stand up to his other work. And also read his other work, because it'll bring you more into the world, into the universe that he writes in a lot more easily. So that's it for that review. The next book I'm going to read is called Fire in the Abyss. It's by Stuart Gordon. I've read this book before years ago, but last year I went back to my parents' house and I picked up some old books of mine, and this one was one of them I remember reading and enjoying, so I'm going to read that one again. It's sort of half set in modern day and half half a historical novel. So check it out if you can find it. I don't think Stuart Gordon is a that popular science fiction writer. I've only ever seen one of his other books somewhere, so you might not be able to get hold of that very easily. But if you've got any suggestions of books that you want me to read, send me an email, luke@juggler.net. I have access to a vast collection of science fiction books and are willing to spend money on them as well. So tell me what you want me to read and review, or what you think I'd like. And if you want to know anything more about it, this podcast or anything else, just check out the website, which is sfbrp.com. And that's about it. My name's Luke Burridge. Hope you've enjoyed this. Thanks a lot, and see you next time.